everybody. Happy Monday. It is Snipes and Stripes weekend edition right here on nofilter.net. And it was a crazy weekend. My partner, Tim Peel, you look great. You look refreshed for a new week to start. And you are, I think you're like one of the men of the hour or the men of the weekend, because you were trending in Canadian social media. And I can't wait to hear everything that was said to you, because you kind of went after the Maple Leaf fans a little bit, which is, God forbid anybody ever does that. But happy Monday, buddy. And what happened? What a great start to our week.
You know what? It's crazy, because I grew up a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and anytime I say anything critical, not even about the Leafs, I wasn't even complaining about the Leafs at all. I wasn't being critical about them. I was being critical about some of the comments on social media. Always blaming the officiating, and it just gets old. You know, this is a franchise that hasn't won a Stanley Cup in almost 57 years. The last time they won it was 1967. They're the most obnoxious, arrogant, self-entitled fan base that I think is in the National Hockey League, because they can do no wrong, but yet they've been out of the playoffs once out of the first round in the past 20 years. But they act like they're this franchise that's accomplished so much in the last 20 years.
They're like Democrats. They're hypocrites. So, I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. They just, I can do no wrong, right? We can do no wrong. It's not our fault. We lost, but it's not our fault.
And what's unbelievable is that I see these bloggers that, you know, have 30, 40,000 followers. They're Toronto media guys. And then they attacked me and they said, well, maybe you could give some insight instead of just making fun of the fans. Because I went, wah, 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 like W-A-H on one of this posts. And I'm like, I could give the most reasonable explanation on why something was called or wasn't called, but that's still not going to be appease the Toronto Maple Leaf fans. They see it one way only. They see it with Toronto Maple Leaf sunglasses on, and that's the only way that they see it. And it just gets old.
I wonder why they are like that, because you would think after 57 years, and especially 19 years of not even winning a round in the playoffs, that you would think that they'd be like, all right, maybe there's a little bit something to the way that this team plays. Maybe it's a little bit more something to what the management the team that the management puts in place. Or maybe it's the goaltender's fault. Or maybe the referees are right and that was a penalty or it wasn't a penalty or whatever the case may be. But after 57 years and a storied franchise, which is an original six team, to have such little playoff success over the last 25 years, that the fans would finally just say, you know what? Maybe we're the problem.
Maybe we'll sit this one out and be a little more humble, because they think they're up here and they're so arrogant, like I said, obnoxious. And what bothers me is I don't mind. Listen, I have fun with some of the fans. And it's funny, because I'll get some fans with hatred, and then I'll turn them around. I'll be like, hey, man, like, having a great day. And they're like, hey, I'm sorry. A couple guys apologized on Twitter.
That's awesome.
But it's the I hope you die. I hope you get cancer. Your life is a waste.
Can you imagine people thinking that to another person over a sport argument? I mean, talk about how awful does your life have to be, and how boring does your life have to be, and how bad of a person do you have to be to actually say something like that to another human being over a sports argument? I mean, get a life, for Christ's sakes.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. I
100%. But I do say those people will have something very bad happen to them in some point of their life. And you know what? They're going to say, why did this happen to me? Well, it's because of the stupid shit that you say on social media to people that don't deserve it, and things that are just totally outlandish and stupid. And all you want to do is create hate, create sadness, and create anger by the words that they say. It's where our society has come, and it's just disgusting. And it began with social media. Social media started this hatred. Social media started this division, and it was been exemplified by the mainstream media, and it's spewed on by our government of all sides. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican. All sides have spewed the hatred, and it's just, man, just so distressing.
Oh, I know, I agree.
But let me ask you a question. That the game, obviously, we got to talk about the Toronto Ranger game, which I thought was a pretty damn good game. But everybody looking forward to Rempe and Reeves, right? Yeah. R versus R. Rempe takes a little bit of liberties. I mean, this kid is making a name for himself. He's one of the most talked about players in social media right now, and one of the most talked about players in something that the National Hockey League wants to get rid of. But what are they going to do? That this is a trend now that Rempe is starting with the fighting, with the hitting, with everything that is happening in the league. That, I mean, Gary Bettman in the league must be sitting back going, how do we control this kid? How do we control this social media frenzy?
You know what, though? It's like Linsanity, Anthony Lynn, when he was playing for the New York Knicks. And it's the same thing with Matt Rempe. He is the most talked about sports athlete in New York right now. And I love it. I don't know, to your point, that the NHL wants to get rid of this. You know, I don't think that they want to get, you know, that they want to get rid of fighting. And but he's destroyed people over the past few weeks. He lit up that Bastion kid from New Jersey. He's fought Martin, Reeves, Olivier,
Delorier.
And you know what? I think I'll give him credit. He didn't try to stand there and exchange bombs with Ryan Reeves, because Ryan Reeves is a tough hombre. And I don't know whether that would have worked out too well. He finally used his reach to hold off Reeves a little bit. And you know what? It was a decent fight. It wasn't like the Martin or the Olivier or the Delorier fight. But, you know, Reeves, he's the self-proclaimed champ, I guess, in the league. But I would have stated that fight was probably a draw, and maybe it give the edge to Reeves. But you know what? I love this Rempe. But I was listening to a fighter on NHL Network the other day, and he's like, this is all fine and good that Rempe's doing this. But as you know, JR, from playing in the game, is he doing all the other things right? Is he getting pucks off the wall? Is he supporting guys, you know, in the defensive zone? And is he effective? Because he played 5 or 6 minutes, which isn't too bad. I think as high as about 8 or 9 minutes, but is he doing all the other little things right in order to stay in the lineup? And that's really at the end of the day what the most important thing is.
Well, that's what's going to keep him in the game, right? That's going to keep him spot on the roster. As soon as he starts making defensive lapses, once he becomes a liability, it doesn't matter what he does physically or fighting, he's going to end up in the press box. It seems like he's being pretty cognizant of his job, of his role. He's a good skater. He's got some pretty good hands for a big guy. I don't see him doing any, you know, scoring 20 goals in the league, but he's definitely making a name for himself and just trying to do, I think, the little things that, again, is going to keep his roster spot. But he's got to be careful. I mean, this kid's been, over the last couple of weeks, has been in 5 or 6 big fights. His face is a mess. I'm sure his hands don't feel good in the course of a day when he wakes up in the morning. It's going to take a toll on him. I know he's only 21 years old, but I don't care how old you are. You keep fighting like this, and you keep doing this night in and night out. It's going to catch up. It's going to take its toll. I mean, this kid looks like he's just been through a war every single night that he's on the ice, and nobody can sustain that.
Yeah, take a few weeks off, JR, right? You know, I agree 100% with your assessment on that. Take a few weeks off, big boy. You've proved everybody that you're tough. And I think just play hockey now, finish your checks. You and I differ on the Labushkin check that knocked Labushkin out of the game. You feel he left his feet. To me, you played this game. You threw a lot of checks. When you throw big checks like that, from my experience of watching it, your feet eventually leave the ground. Like when you throw a check, your feet leave the ground. Now there's a difference of leaving the ground 2 or 3, leaving the ground 6-8 inches above. But I don't have a problem with this hit. And people are saying it's charging. Not charging. The guy's got the puck. You're in the slot.
Well, it's how many powerful strides did he take to gain as much momentum as possible? And you're always going to throw all of your weight off of your back foot into a check. There's no question about it. You see this right here. He takes a look at the puck, and he takes maybe 4 strong strides to get as much power and much speed. Now, whether that is to get to the puck or not, but he's a big guy. He doesn't need to leave his feet at all. He's got the range and the size as it is. But you're right, the feet are going to leave the ice a little bit. I'm not saying it was a penalty, but it was definitely teetering on teetering on being illegal. Listen, I used to leave my feet all the time. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was a different game back then. I was smaller. I was 170, 165 pounds. I had to use every ounce of my body and aspect of my velocity to hit hard. I tried to aim at the head. I tried to hurt people. There's no question about it. It was part of the game. It was part of the intimidation. It was part of the way that I got an upper edge on defensemen to where they didn't know what I was going to do. But nowadays it's a little bit different, but I wonder whether the Rangers, who are in this race for the top spot in the National Hockey League and want to win a Stanley Cup, is this needed on a New York Ranger team right now? Does it boost energy? Does it get the guys going? Is it, you know, could it be a deterrent at some point when you have such a talented team like the Rangers? Is it an asset? Is he an asset for the Rangers?
He's an asset. I don't think it's a deterrent. And the reason that Chris Drury brought Ryan Reeves to the New York Rangers a couple of years ago is because guys like Tom Wilson and so on were running ragged over Panarin and Zibanejad and different guys. So I think this is an element that the Rangers needed. I think they've got a great all-round team with skill and now some toughness and obviously tremendous goaltending with Shesterkin. So you know what? I think the players love it.
It's a great answer. You know, there's no question that Zibanejad and Kreider and Panarin and especially guys like Lafreniere, however you say his name, are going to feel a lot more comfortable playing the game knowing that Matt Rempe is on the ice, no question. So
I want to talk about the Nashville Predators. Nobody's really talking about them right now. And there's one.
I am.
They have 8 wins in a row. And guess who their next 3 games are against? Montreal, Buffalo, and Columbus. Right? And they've won 8 in a row. And I'm going to tell you, this is – nobody's really talking about him, but I think he is the number one reason why this team is doing so well, and that is their head coach, Andrew Brunette. You asked Joel Quenneville when Andrew worked with him in Florida – Joel Quenneville loves Andrew Brunette. He says he's one of the smartest hockey guys around. He did a great job in New Jersey. He got an opportunity, you know, as an assistant coach. And good for Barry Trotz to bring him over because he recognized what a strong hockey mind this guy has. I think that's a big reason for their success, JR, is a guy like Andrew Brunette.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Andrew's probably gotten a raw end of the stick over his first little while as a head coach in the National Hockey League. Guy was hard to play against. Kid played the game the right way, so you know he's going to coach the right way.
hockey player, right?
He was a very, very disciplined, very tough hockey player, just did his job and was effective. And it's kind of exactly how the Nashville Predators are playing right now. They're playing effective. They're playing with structure. They're playing with confidence. Ryan O'Reilly has been an amazing addition in Nashville this year. I think Soros is having a good year, although he could be on the chopping block. You never know what's happening. So many teams need goaltenders. I'm a huge Yossi fan. I think he's one of the most underrated, probably one of the less talked about best defensemen in the National Hockey League. It has been screwed over by the National Hockey League. He should have won a Norris Trophy by now with some of the seasons that he has had. But I was on a podcast the other day and somebody asked me if there's a team that nobody's looking at right now that could pull off something like Florida did last year. And I'm like, nobody's talking about Nashville. I mean, Nashville is just rolling right now and winning hockey games. They have a nice, firm, solid hold on that wild card spot. And like you said, with three games, the next three games of who they're playing, they should win those games and probably secure a playoff spot here within the next couple of weeks, because we're running out of games. We're into the teens now with games remaining.
We're running out of games. You and I talked about it last week. I really think the West is settled. You've got Nashville and LA with 72 points. And then Calgary 65, St. Louis 65, 7.
That's a 7-point lead, right? And if they get three more wins, that's 6 more points. You know they're probably going to extend that lead by 2, maybe even 4. Right. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of points for other teams to try to bounce them out with 17, 18 games remaining in the league.
You know, there's a stat that our great guy Tim Smith, aka Bailey, has pulled up here right now. And you look at the goal differential. For example, the St. Louis Blues, 174 to 186. That's tough. Are you going to make the playoffs when your goal differential is like that? Because you look at an LA and you look at a Nashville, and their goals for and goals against, you know, they're obviously their goals for better than their goals against. So I think the West is settled. I don't see Calgary being consistent enough. I don't see St. Louis making a run. And you know what? To your point, yeah, I agree with you 100%. That is a team that I would not want to play in the playoffs as the Nashville Predators.
No, they've been rather impressive. All you have to do is get there, right? I mean, we've had so many teams over the last, 10, 12 years that have gotten into the playoffs and have made runs. I mean, most notably the LA Kings back there, 10 years ago, they were the last team into the playoffs. In the last game of the season, they just ran through the whole playoffs and won a Stanley Cup. The Florida Panthers last year, doing it and just coming up short. But that's the parity in the league. The league is as good as it's been, player for player, pound for pound, that we've seen in a long time, with maybe the exception of the Chicago Blackhawks. Now the Arizona Coyotes have lost 14 in a row. They've played themselves out of any kind of playoff contention, and probably played themselves into now a big time selling role come trade deadline, because they have some real quality pieces that will probably be traded to get a little bit more, I think, youth into that Phoenix, that Arizona locker room that can help some of these young guys. But there's some pretty good guys in the chopping block coming up in this trade deadline that's happening. I think it's on the 8th, correct? Next couple of days?
Yeah, it's next Monday. Monday's the trade deadline. You know what, JR, you mentioned about players that may be traded and so on at the trade deadline. You're going to think that I am crazy this morning to talk like this, but
I always think you're crazy. I thought about it when you were on the ice with me, with that whistle in your mouth. I'm not going to change now.
But Kyle Dubas, I think he took one last stab at it in the off season, bringing one last step, because he was only in position as a GM for a few months. But he tried, everyone's been talking the last three or four years about keeping the band together in Pittsburgh. He brings Carlson over. Carlson's played better the last few months. But, Pittsburgh oldest team in the NHL at almost 31 years old. Okay. Guess who's second? Washington Capitals. Guess what teams aren't going to make the playoffs? The Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals. Everybody talks about trading Jake Guentzel. I would trade if he has a no movement clause, but I would try to trade Denny Malkin and get a haul for him. He's got 2 years left at $6.1 million. It's a reasonable cap hit for a player of his caliber. I hate to say it, but Dubas is almost...
Can you get a haul for him? That's the question, because he has been declining over the last couple of years, and literally you really haven't heard hide nor hair of him this year. Jake Guentzel is another guy that is big time is going to be on the wish list for a lot of teams, but this is a problem. And I find a lot of teams get caught in this issue where they protect their beloved, right? The fan favorites, right? It's very difficult for them to part ways with someone that is so loved by the fans, because they're afraid the fans are going to revolt on them. They're afraid the fans are going to get mad. They're afraid the fans aren't going to come to the arena. I think a lot of that is what they're dealing with Malkin. I think this is a lot what they're probably thinking about with the possibilities of trading Jake Guentzel. Like, how is that going to affect the mentality of their fan base that most teams find it? That's the hardest thing for them to trade. They're just meat. They're just players, but it's the bottom line of pocketbook and how much money that they're going to be selling in tickets that they keep some of these guys around longer than they should be there. Malkin should not be with the Pittsburgh Penguins anymore. He should have been gone 2 years ago, and they should have gotten a boatload for getting Malkin 2 years ago. But now you're up against, is he worth the freight that you just alluded to?
Yeah, no, that's you're bang on, because how much are you going to get for him right now? But Kyle Dubas is in a situation, and I got to be honest, personally, I'm not a big Kyle Dubas fan. He was 9 years with Toronto. He was the last 5 years as the GM. And with all that talent on the team, he got them out of the playoffs, got them out of the first round one time. So everyone talks about this Kyle Dubas as being this genius. I don't get it. I don't see it. He's in a tough situation in Pittsburgh, because that team has to be.
I think he just said it. I think he dismantled and kind of ruined Toronto. If you want to say that, I mean, he literally put Toronto in a cap devastating situation with four or five guys. And I mean, I heard the reason he wanted to get out of there because there was no way around getting a team that was going to be maybe a Stanley Cup team over the next 5 or 10 years because of how much money that the top five guys, and you're not going to have any, you're not going to have a third line. You're not going to have a fourth line. You're not going to have a fourth, five, and sixth defenseman. And right now you probably don't even have a goaltender that you can rely on too much. So Dubas put Toronto in a very precarious situation, and he's got to protect himself in Pittsburgh from doing the same thing.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but the Pittsburgh era is over, buddy. And it sickens me for Sid, because Sid's got so much left in his game. And you talked about it, I think, on our last show about would Sid want to go anywhere else? I don't think that's in his DNA. I don't think that's in his DNA to want to play for another
team. But you know what else is not in his DNA?
Losing?
A rebuild.
Right.
There's not a rebuild, okay? Can you see Sidney Crosby in Chicago right now losing every single game? Can you see him in Columbus right now losing every single game? Can you see him in Arizona right now losing every single game? Not a chance. Well, does Sidney Crosby want to go out on his career like that? And no, I can't see it. If Pittsburgh decides that they are going to get rid of some of their core players, whether it's Letang, whether it's Guentzel, or whether it's Malkin, or multiple, I truly believe that you're going to see Sidney Crosby look look for options to go someplace else. And listen, nobody has to, and he shouldn't be blamed for it. Sidney Crosby, the one person that you cannot get mad at for the situation that's happening in Pittsburgh is Sidney Crosby. Oh. And if any fan stops being fans with Sidney Crosby because he decides or leaves Pittsburgh for brighter accomplishments with winning another cup, then shame on them, because Sidney Crosby has given Pittsburgh absolutely everything in the kitchen sink in terms of his effort, his off the ice mentality, his professionalism, the way he's represented not only the team but the league. And Sidney Crosby has the right to say, I don't want to go through a rebuild, and every single person should, you know, kind of the same way that Patrick Kane was just glorified by the Chicago Blackhawks fans last week.
Listen, before we end here, a couple things. I want to get to Zach Hyman, but before I do, I meant to mention this about the Nashville run that they've been on. When they lost 2 weeks ago at home, 9-2, they were flying to Dallas. They got embarrassed at home, 9-2. They were flying to Vegas the next day. They had concert tickets at the Sphere to see U2. They had all these events planned. And Barry Trotz, after the game, walked in after they lost 9-2 at home and said, your vacation and your little party to Vegas is over. And we're not going to the concert. And he pulled the plug on all the events. And what have they done since then? They've rattled off 8 straight wins.
Yep. So I'm a big Barry Trotz supporter. Barry Trotz is one of the best in the business and has been for a long time. And he had his finger on the pulse. It's exactly what should happen. That's exactly what we're missing in all sorts of youth mentality these days, is having consequences for your actions. And Barry Trotz just gave a consequence for your actions. And let's wake up so we can get that night good things back. So good on Barry Trotz. Good on McDavid. He continues his point streak. He just got out of his goal streak. So he is now scoring goals. Edmonton's winning hockey games. Let's look at this week to see what happens with McKinnon. He is just on an absolute just rager right now. Be interesting to see how far he can continue this home scoring streak and just scoring streak alone. I still think Colorado, to me, looks like the odds-on favorite coming down the stretch here for, you know, in the Stanley Cup kind of conversation. And way to go, Zach Hyman. You said it. Zach Hyman, 42 goals. Do you think Toronto would like Zach Hyman in their lineup right now? This kid is.
Played for Toronto.
I did too. It was amazing that he left there. But I will tell you, you want to talk about an all-around player, a player that does everything very, very well. Now he's a great goal scorer, but he is a great skater. He's got great vision. He's got great IQ. He plays 200 feet. I mean, what an asset Zach Hyman has been for the Edmonton Oilers, and one of the main reasons why they have gone from one of the worst teams in the league in the beginning of the season to one of the best teams, and probably a team that many people think is going to win the Stanley Cup. Their odds in Vegas have, I think they're right near the top with Colorado right now, and Zach Hyman has been the most consistent player all year, even better than McDavid and Draisaitl.
You know what? We're showing some highlights here on our show of him scoring from 20 feet out. But I bet you 25 to 30 of his goals are scored around the blue paint. And yes, does it help that he's playing, that he's getting assisted by McDavid and Draisaitl? Absolutely. But his goals, I saw a chart the other day, and it looked like 80% of his goals were right around the crease area. That's where he scores. Yep. He's great down low, and I love the guy. He's a great player.
Well, listen, there's no secret how you score goals. And some of the best guys in the history of the game did it. You have Brett Hull did it. You have Keith Tkachuk did it. Dave Andrechuk did it. Joe Pavelski's doing it now. Get into the high traffic areas. Get into the house. Go where the puck is going. Get in front of the net, and that's where Zach Hyman goes. And he's getting rewarded for it. So all you young kids that want to be a goal scorer, get inside. Perimeter play.
I got one for you. You being a Philadelphia Flyer, you remember Big Timmy Kerr. He scored.
Big Timmy Kerr. Yep.
51 year, and every one of them was probably within 5 feet of that net. That's where he threw his balls, right?
So, yep.
Great show, buddy. We've got to get a shout out to our sponsors, Bet Online. Thank you very much for sponsoring our show, and to your show, or to your whiskey in the wild. I can't wait until we get it in Missouri, buddy.
It's coming. It's going to be there soon. And make sure everybody out there, wherever you get your podcasts, get Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. We love you having here, but Caffeine TV, great place to get it. Thanks to Bleav for everything that they're doing for us. Bleav TV is amazing. Caffeine TV, let's keep rocking this thing, man. It's rocking and rolling. We're making a lot of people really notice about our shows, and especially when you start trending around, across Canada like you have here, Timmy. We're doing great things, and let's keep up the great work. And thanks to all of our listeners and all of our followers. Join us on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, right on nofilter.net. It is Snipes and Stripes. This was the weekend edition every Monday. So we will see you on Wednesday for our full 1-hour podcast. Timmy, great job today, and we'll see everybody on Wednesday.